Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
The guest we have today has healing powers. Right. And whenever I see her, I feel better about myself.
I'm feeling them healing powers as well, actually. I've just come back from a wedding and I've got a hangover. And then I saw our guest was waiting on the doorstep as I came back because I've been stuck in traffic. And I automatically felt refreshed, revived, inspired and alive.
Love that.
I know.
So I first met our guest in a nightclub, of all places.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago. And I was a young musician and used to love going clubbing and dancing all night. And one of the people who used to DJ in those clubs that I was hanging out at, places like Cash Point, Electrogogo, The Cock, Ghetto, Nag Nag Nag, all that kind of time.
None of these places exist anymore, do
they? None of them exist anymore, which is a tragedy in itself. Yeah. We should just highlight that. We need more clubs in London yeah. for gay people and
yeah,
also all
spaces.
Kinds of people. Yeah, exactly. But there aren't just enough clubs for young people generally. But anyway, one of the people that used to really inspire me when I went clubbing was our guest today.
Yeah.
So much so that as I was making my first album, we ended up doing a song together.
I didn't know this.
Yes, which we will reveal
but can
as
we put
the
this,
podcast happens.
Oh, can we play it as a podcast?
Oh, yeah, we should put some of it in the
yeah.
show. Love that. So our guest today is someone very special to
very,
me.
Very, very, very.
Princess Julia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Really good.
How are you?
I'm really good as
well.
Oh,
it's lovely to be here this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
So ecstatic. I feel like a 5-year-old child. I'm like so happy that you're coming on our podcast.
Well, I'm enjoying myself having a nose around your latte.
Yes. And latte is Polari for, what is it? What's the, is it like a rhyming slang?
No.
Or latte, like what's legs?
Lallies.
That's yeah. what I was thinking of. So my latte is your house.
Your house.
That's good.
Your
I like
flat.
That.
But and it's full of art.
It is, isn't it?
I shouldn't really say that, should I? But
you can say that.
Need you know what? He's just done Architectural Digest, so I think the whole world knows exactly
okay.
what the inside of my flat looks like. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I don't think there's any imagination needed.
Putting that out there.
It's pretty full on, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like an old Manhattan
and
warehouse.
We've already had a full-on conversation about your favourite artist.
We have.
My favourite artist.
We sort of ruined it for ourselves.
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
Guess what?
We can relive those
The listeners
moments.
And me haven't heard this conversation.
Ooh.
So
okay.
we're on the edge of our seats
so,
with excitement.
I asked you what yeah. who your favourite...
Well, you asked me for tips, people at the minute I'm really into. Yeah.
Yes.
And I said Lisa Bryce is an artist who I love, a South African
right.
female artist. And Stanley Whitney I'm really into right now. That's who I'm really looking at.
Okay.
And what about you?
Well, I really enjoyed going to see Richard Porter's ceramics at the Goldsmiths degree show, which was fantastic. And then Richard introduced me to Lydia Blakely,
yes.
who I adore.
Really? What's her work
yeah,
like?
It's very painterly.
Yeah.
There were two kinds of strands of subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
One were these little sort of fluffy sort of animal thingies,
right.
which I really do want one, that are but apparently in...
But in a painting, it's like fluff
it's a painting.
A painting.
No, right. not fluff in the painting. She's painted them.
Oh, okay, right.
Painterly paintings.
Got it.
And the other subject matter was a sort of reportage of horse racing, but actually the sort of torturous side of horses and things.
Oh, wow.
I think you'd love it.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I'm into this.
And is she just graduating as well?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a tip for you.
Thanks, Julia.
That's all right.
How many graduation shows do you go and see? Do you make that thing every year?
No, I try to go to like all sorts of graduation shows. So, you know, I've got an interest in the fashion world as too. So there's always that sort of thing. Yeah. I did go to the Central St. Martin's one with the designer, Frederick, who did the blow-up. Did you see that?
No.
With the blow-up rubber balloons. They were inside the balloons.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it was really beyond. And they came on, and then the balloons sort of deflated and turned into a dress.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
It was so good.
I haven't seen that one.
Actually, all the students were, like, beyond. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Was it a really strong year this year?
I thought it was excellent. Yes, it was.
So were you now you've seen that, were you follow these students, like, in their careers? Are you kind of quite attached to people and you've seen them really grow?
Yeah. And now, because, you know, you can follow people on
Instagram,
social media and whatnot. So, yeah, you kind of like, click, follow.
Who have you been following like in the past? Who's people you've sort of seen them ascend?
Fashionista is such a wonderful platform.
Yeah.
You know, Lulu Kennedy does it. And I really enjoy what she does. And like some of the people that she takes on and represents, I kind of know a bit. And some of them I don't. So I'm always interested to see who she...
Who is she? She's an agent.
Lulu Kennedy. No, she's just she's a person who is very interested in style, personal style and curating style. And I actually met her, like you, Rob, in the world of clubs.
Did you?
Yeah, in the 90s.
Oh, cool.
When I was a bit more of a superstar DJ in those days, maybe. A global DJ. I used to go to Italy quite a lot, and I met Lulu there, actually. She was living there.
Wow.
And then I didn't see her for a while, and then I bumped into her at the Truman Brewery. I was doing a sort of the early days of like online radio. Uh-huh. And then she said she was setting up this platform for emerging designers. And that's what she did. And Fashionista happened.
It's so incredible. I've discovered so many fashion designers that I love from that particular platform. So
what's
like
Fashionista? That's
Grace,
a school.
Grace Wales Bonnet. No, it's like a fashion show, like a fashion week.
Oh, okay,
it happens
right,
at the same
right.
time fashion as Men's Fashion Week, Women's Fashion
got
Week,
it,
I think.
Got it,
maybe both. But I discovered Edward Crutchley there.
Yep.
Grace Wales Bonnet, probably Craig Green. I can't remember if Craig was there or not. But
yeah
it's just the best place to go.
Most people that you think of that are
have come
now
that way. Yeah.
Your faves
yes.
have come on that sort of Fashionista, come up through the Fashionista platform, and they get three seasons or two seasons or something, you know, something. And they are given the means to present their work on a catwalk.
So
is there such a thing in the art world?
Emerging artists like... Yeah. Opportunities for funding, I guess. I guess you've got British Council for people if you want to do shows.
And the Arts Council.
The Arts
and
Council.
Also, I think there are, like, young art fairs. Do you remember, like, a zoo used to be in East London, Zoo Art Fair?
Yeah.
And then there's other art fairs like Sunday, and there's lots of younger art fairs where you can... It's a similar kind of equivalent thing, because in a way, those sort of fashion shows are a bit like the equivalent of trade fairs, I guess, which is what an art fair is. So I think that there are places, yeah, definitely. And also the graduation shows and things like that. But going back to you, have you always been really into, like, dressing up quite, like, expressively and expressing yourself through clothes and makeup and all that stuff from a young age? Or where did it all begin for you?
I can't help myself. I just can't help it.
Love it.
I guess, really, my main inspiration was my grandma. She was an opera singer, actually.
Wow.
I guess in the 40s.
Cool.
Or so. And used to tour around the UK singing opera with a person called Max Jaffa. She was very proud of that fact. Anyway, she had a wonderful wardrobe. And I used to go and see her and rifle through her
costumes
frocks.
And things,
Wow.
Yeah. And then I've got this really fantastic photograph of my grandmother in a production. And she's got, like, two cones on... for tits and
like
things
a Gautier like style, Madonna
yeah,
style.
Yeah, like it's kind of it is, but it's a bit more sort of it's a bit more Nordic. shall we say. Oh, okay, I don't know right. what role she was playing, right. but I've
the
got
the prow
that picture
of a ship or something.
Yeah,
like
my mother was really embarrassed of this photograph. I was like, I'll have that. Because I think it's really fantastic.
Wicked.
She's got like big plait things on.
Oh, right, yeah. Like the Danish sort of helmet with it.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Of that sort of style. Anyway, so that was my grandmother. So I loved her sort of theatricality.
Yeah.
So I think that she was really quite an influence.
But like
on
a daily basis, would she really dress up and make an effort?
She always made an effort and she always like turned it out. And she has a beautiful hand-painted frocks, like those 50s sort of lovely hand-painted, printed sort of those sort of new look, Dior new look type style looking things. Yeah.
Right. And did she dress you up? Did she like?
No, she didn't dress me up. I just sort of did it myself.
And she was cool with it though.
Yeah, she loved it. When I was about eight, what did I want for my birthday? I wanted my ears pierced, a tattoo, and this was in 1968, and I wanted a smock top. I had a very specific idea. I wanted cork wedges, and I wanted tights with a pattern up the side. I don't know where I got all these ideas. Age eight. Oh, hot pants. That was another one I wanted.
Love that.
I know.
And did you get it all for your eighth birthday?
Yeah, I had to go and get it myself.
But you got the tattoo.
My mum was useless, really. No, I wasn't allowed to have a tattoo.
Few.
Yeah. But I did get my ears pierced and whatnot.
Cool.
Yeah,
and where were you when you were growing up as a kid?
Well, I was born in Hackney, as most people know, but I grew up in like Stamford Hill and then like north, like Wood Green, Palmer's Green, Bounds Green, that sort of area.
And you reside back in the east now, right? You've moved from north back.
I've lived all over London, as you do, east, west, north.
So, I remember when you moved into east.
Yeah.
Weren't you living with Richard from Gold Sale?
I was,
ages ago.
Yeah.
I remember when you moved and you were really excited about moving.
Yeah, because before that I lived in Islington for
a little
bit.
That's right, and you were really happy about going back east.
Yeah.
I love East London.
What I like about, you know, certain areas of London is anywhere really in the world, but like I love it when there's like an energy coming up.
Totally.
And I sort of gravitate to wherever I think there's going to be some action going on. So I've lived in Earls Court in the 70s.
Wow. So that was when it was super gay. That was like...
Yeah.
That was like the gay destination.
In Earls Court and Kensington. I lived in Earls Court with a rent boy.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, about a year. And then
you didn't bring clients into the house though while you were there, did you?
A lot of times I just went out.
Oh, my God.
We had like a bedsit room with beds that came down.
Off the wall, pull-down beds.
Really, yeah.
So he'd have a client
Earls
and
Court.
You'd go out.
Yeah,
oh
I'd go out
God.
And buy them. Right.
For a year you had to keep popping out.
It's all right, it's fine. You know, and then I moved into another sort of bedsit with another person that Geoffrey Hinton was telling me. That's when I met Geoffrey, about 77. That Geoffrey keeps telling me, but they were a rent boy, but I didn't even realise. I thought they bred bull mastiffs.
So how did you get
actually, he had another career that you didn't know about.
Oh, right.
Well, I knew there was something sort of maybe with the landlord.
Right, right.
Wow.
So when you were living in Earls Court, what was happening in like the kind of scene? Were there clubs yet? Because I guess there was punk and all that, and then
70s.
Yeah, like late 70s.
Yeah, it so was some hotbed, Copers.
Yeah.
Now, do you know that film, Nighthawks? It's one of my favourites.
Right.
At the time, I thought it was a bit... I quite kind of liked it, but it's about a gay teacher. Actually, you should remake it.
Tell me about it.
Nighthawks, right? It's about a gay teacher teaching in London in the 70s, but it's about this sort of double life that they're leading.
Wow.
And they go around all the clubs and they go to like heaven, like before it was sort of heaven, really. Just sort of, you know, just coming up. I think it was sort of like made in like 1979.
But it's set in a time before legalisation of homosexuality.
No, it's set in that time.
Oh, right.
In that literal time.
Right.
So it's still quite, you know, you still like, if you were working as a sort of proper person.
Yes.
You couldn't always, you know, it wasn't really conducive to like coming out or anything
and
like that.
And is it funny or is it like a tragic
story? No, it's
story?
Quite serious. Is but it? It's like wow. cruising and there's lots of really great sort of like inside clubs in Earl's Court. That's where I'm going with this. As well as also the interior of heaven. And it's all like the cruising alleys, you know, like that. You know, I'm doing an eye action here.
Yes. Like, yeah. Oi, look at the lallies
and
on
Jeffrey's
that.
And Jeffrey's in that as well. It's hilarious.
Jeffrey's in the film?
Jeffrey's in that film.
So who's Jeffrey? Jeffrey is
Jeffrey Hinton yes. is one of my oldest friends.
Right.
And we met in sort of 77. And Jeffrey is a DJ mm-hmm. and an archivist in more current times. And actually has a vast archive of film work, which he does edit and show from time to time. That's very interesting.
So he makes these films?
Yeah, he sort of edits them together. But they're basically filmed on an old VHS or on his phone or whatever. And so I saw him do a screening. I saw a screening the other week at one of my other favourite platforms of great endeavour, The Glory.
Yes.
We love The Glory.
It's so
the best
good.
The Glory's on Kingsland
ever.
Road.
Yeah, yes. So in the basement they sort of have all sorts of things going on in there.
And that's like Johnny Woo,
John Sizzle.
And Colin, isn't
and
it?
And Colin Rothbard.
Yeah, exactly. Who I just saw in Margate
so
with
it's
you.
It's an independent-run gay pub that really does provide a marvellous platform for performance of all kinds.
Yeah, totally.
Russell, I mean, if you wanted to do a work in progress...
Like test stuff out. Yeah,
you could do it. I'm going to do the gay teacher there.
I'm going to do a
run. We actually go to the Glory though together. The first night I ever got drunk, like a year ago or something.
Oh,
we went out to the Glory. We were here all evening. We drank bottles of champagne, and then we went down to the Glory, and I was like really happy and had the best night ever.
Yeah,
I love downstairs. You dancing. The music's so good.
Yeah. So how long have you been involved with the Glory?
Right from the beginning, really.
How long ago is that? Like 3-4 years.
4 years. 4 years. Maybe. Yeah.
Because we're running out of queer spaces, aren't we, in London? Have you noticed that from being on the scene for so long?
Yeah, I think that, you know, actually, yeah, things do shut. And that's always been what happens. You know, things do shut and new things do open. But maybe it's been a bit slower at new things opening. Because it is quite hard to maintain, you know, venues, like keep them turning over. But I have to say here that... John Sizzle and Johnny Woo are really, especially John Sizzle, is so beyond like programming things in. And, you know, I do a Sunday night there, a little soiree, and John Sizzle allows me to program people, you know, special guests on and things like that. But John Sizzle is like, he's on it.
Is he?
He is.
Wow.
Right, I really like that sort of organisation.
Yeah. Do you feel sad this over the places that are closed, like say the Joiners Arms?
Yeah, I do feel sad, but because I've been sort of involved in clubs and club nights sort of for so long, I'm kind of actually used to things sort of coming and going and things changing, and I actually find it quite exciting when things do change. A bit, you know, I actually find it quite invigorating because I think it makes, you know, I'm putting a positive slant on this, aren't I?
But I think it's true.
I actually feel like, hey, that's actually, you know, I find it really
fresh,
exciting, you know, to see how people adapt and myself actually to adapt to what's going on. And actually, a lot of places now do have to think quite a wide sort of frame of endeavour, if you understand what I mean, of what can be done in a space, you know.
Right.
Like we sometimes I go to this thing called Sketch Sesh. Do you know that? It's like a life drawing class.
And I really wanted to talk to you about life
really
drawing. Because I remember sitting with you in Nag 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 like years and years and years ago, and we were about to do a gig or something like for Tempo Shark, and you were going to come and sing Paris with me on stage. Okay. And we had in the sound check, you and I sat down, and you said to me, "Oh, I went life drawing last night," and I was like, "Sorry, you went life drawing?" And you told me how much you loved it, and you've done it for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah,
and that was one of the reasons I thought you'd be such a great guest for Talk Up, because I am really have so much respect for life drawing.
But you used to be a model, didn't you?
No, I've never done modelling, babe. I mean, I should.
Well, we've all done a bit of modelling, haven't we, in our time? Mm. I mean, I'll still do a bit of modelling.
Yes. Do you, as a life model?
Well, actually, yeah, sometimes.
Really? That's
yeah.
so cool.
So with Sketch Sesh, it's a life drawing class. It's run by James Davison and Simon Nicholas Gray. And we have all sorts of different models. And, sometimes, like, Nazia, comes in and, like, dresses up the models, or Max Allen, you know. So, like, it's not all... It's not
who
always
are these? These
naked.
Are stylists? These
they're designers.
Oh, right, OK.
Designer friends of mine, but they're quite sort of, like, fringy.
Okay, avant-garde-y or...
Sort of.
So what is it you love about life drawing and drawing in itself? Because I was so surprised when I... Because I always thought if you just... You know, like, if you think of Princess Julie, you immediately think of, like, the Visage video Fade to Grey or something like that. That was the kind of initial thought I had about you. And then the more I got to know you, that's hardly anything. Like music is a big part of your life, of course, but, like, you have all these, like, depths, and I love the fact that you love drawing so much.
Yeah.
I love it. I find it quite sort of meditative. And, have you been to life drawing? Yeah, you know, you just sort of sit there, you're just like you and the model, and you're in the moment. And I just like that. And, like, it fascinates me to see what comes out on the paper. Not just what I do, but what other people do in the class. So you see all these different sort of translations of the same things.
And it's amazing to show you how unique humans are, because you're all looking at the same body, but yet your depiction of it and your, like, way of breaking it down as paper is completely unique to you.
Yeah.
Your line.
Quite a lot of that work that I do, those sketches and things, I use to, you know, as groundwork, and when I do a bit of painting every now and again, I use that as a sort of foundation, really, because I don't know, faces always sort of really fascinate me in a weirdy way, and the way people look as well.
Is it the way they put on their makeup and everything?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Some people wear makeup and some people don't. You know, we've had people like Lavinia Co-op, who's a great life model to draw.
Right.
Do you know Lavinia?
No.
So Lavinia was in part of the part of the performance troupe called the Blue Lips, started up in the late 70s with, like, Bette Bourne.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all that, yeah. So I love drawing Lavinia.
Cool.
So
how
really
regularly does she turn
people
up there? Do you have, like, the same people turn up every...
No, it's always different. Like, sometimes people come back. But there's a boy called Harry.
Yeah.
I think on Instagram they're Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great subject.
Harry Bradshaw, as in Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
I actually saw a life model on Instagram who is like... He wrote to us the other week, and he was talking about how being a life model is an art in itself, and that he is an artist as a life model. Yeah, and it's so true. It's such an interesting concept.
Yeah.
So you've been making art yourself for a long time
So when did you start?
I always liked art school, but, like, when I left school, I just went straight into, like, work. So I just... I wanted to be a makeup artist, really, but I went into hairdressing because they said I was too young. So I just sort of did that, really. So it's kind of that was an element of, that's lots of creativity. But I didn't really pursue that as a career. And then... really, because I love discos and the disco round so much, I sort of ended up being quite involved in that area. In doing just sort of jobs like being coat check lady and things like that.
Oh, wicked.
So I was like coat check lady at the Blitz, and then George came after me, and then
was he a coat check?
Yeah,
boy, was he?
Yeah, and then I did that. I was coat check lady at Taboo as well, actually, with Malcolm Duffy.
And
then we
you
got
remember
fired.
Lee Bowery and stuff?
Yeah. We all knew, obviously I knew Lee Bowery really well.
Wow.
And so I did that. And then I sort of did all kinds of jobs in clubs. And then at some one point, I sort of ended up doing a bit of DJing as well. That's how I started DJing.
Right. So it kind of naturally happened, like out of you spending time with that crowd, And you were known as the Blitz Kids, weren't you, back then, that whole crowd?
The New Romantic era. Yeah. That was the late 70s. So, yeah.
So you were like club labelled. Kids. The Blitz Kids were the club kids.
Nobody really called us club kids. It was like 1979.
Right.
So
there's no such thing.
I think we were called the Cult with No Name.
Yeah.
The Futurists.
Yeah.
And then the Blitz tag stuck because the actual name of the club was
the Blitz. And that obviously doesn't exist anymore.
Sort of like,
that's long gone, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's long gone, yeah. But from that, the legacy of it is quite sort of astounding. I mean, you know, it kind of only lasted a couple of years, and it's really quite... I don't know, I'm really actually quite in awe of how the legacy of that moment has carried on through all the decades.
It's so true, because I remember in the early 90s, there was a whole kind of new, they called it Romo or something.
Oh, yeah.
There was that whole like pop kind of new romantic, but it wasn't new romantic, obviously, because it was, but they, it was like the Romo, and there were all these bands, like Orlando, and there were all these kind of bands at the time. And then when I was like early 20s, it became like Electro Clash. But then that in itself was kind of referencing, you know, that time. It's so true, isn't it? Yeah.
But I mean, you know, but everything comes with a new angle. And so that's going back to the closure of clubs and things and the way things are always in flux and regenerating and regurgitating. It's the same sort of thing, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But through it all, I have remained.
You have remained.
A constant.
You are the Princess Julia.
I've basically got the same life that I've had since 1979.
But tell me that. When did you become Princess Julia?
Well,
like, where did that name come from?
That was in the late 80s when we, Jeffrey, me and Mark Lawrence, who's not with us anymore, DJed at a night called The Daisy Chain. And we thought that we should have, you know, sort of like
a legitimate
catchy
names,
you know, because everyone was having them. You know, so because people did call me Princess every now and again, I thought, I'll just be that.
So good.
Yeah. So, and then it sort of stuck, because then obviously going into the 90s, mm-hmm. And, you know, being a DJ was kind of a legitimate job by then.
Yeah, totally.
So I just sort of carried on with it, and it's just sort of
the other thing I loved though about you was that beyond DJing, you were also making music, and you had a band with Luke when I first met you. The Most, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you were in a band before that, weren't you?
I think when you like are in the DJing world, it's like a sort of obvious thing to do is do a bit of production or be involved in making some sort of music, mm-hmm. and it's like one of those things that I've just sort of fallen into in a way, but I am interested in it. Like I do like doing remixes and things. I'd like to do more. And sometimes I do like fashion show music and things. I love doing
cool.
it. And it's really good fun. I do things like that. And concerning like music type things, I've quite often a guest vocalist on things, various
so
things.
So you as a guest vocalist with Rob, though.
Well, this is such a funny story.
I we
were in the clubs, like, performing loads, and Mark Moore from S Express had been a big champion of my band.
Express.
He is the coolest, kindest, most amazing human being.
Oh.
And it was Julia and Mark that were, like, my big kind of... the people in the music world that made me feel like I belonged or something, and that I should keep doing what I'm doing, because I never quite felt like I fitted in the club scene, because I wasn't as cool as like Julia or like that whole crowd. I always felt a bit like uncool or something. No, only because I'd come from like a pop writing background. Like from the age of 14, I'd written pop songs. It was very commercial in a way, what I was doing. And I was working with producers that were producing like Dido and like The Verve. It wasn't like, you know, like cool, like underground dance music, but that was what I loved. So you, it was you and
The Verve.
And
what are you
no, I love The Verve too, but they were very like mainstream
commercial.
At the time. They were like, you know, on the radio and all that stuff. But when I went into the club scene, it was like I suddenly felt like I belonged, and it was Julia and Mark Moore that were like so kind to me and made me feel like I can do this.
Right.
So I started performing live, and then I asked you to remix one of my songs, and you came to the studio and ended up singing on it, and it was so genius.
Mm.
It was called Paris, and you like wrote your whole own section in it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then we performed before Grace Jones at the TDK Music Festival. I found a photo the other day.
Yeah, we did, actually.
Did you perform on stage together?
Yeah, performed on stage together. I've got pictures. I'll post it on the Instagram.
Oh, my God.
But we were supporting Grace Jones at this King's Cross Music Festival.
Do you know, is she a friend of yours, Grace Jones?
Look, I don't know her, but I have met her a few times. But have you met her?
No, never.
Yeah, she's
I'd love
really
to.
Lovely, actually.
Is she? I've heard she's quite terrifying in some ways because of her persona, but the reality
she's not
is,
terrifying in real life. She's super
that's
cool.
What I mean. I've heard that she's like really
and I remember
sweet
dancing with her at the Serpentine Summer Party about 8 years ago on the dance floor, and she just spent the whole evening dancing with me. It was totally brilliant. No one else was dancing. She is so much fun. We've got mutual friends. I think Zoe's a good friend of hers.
Really?
Yeah.
I love women like that. That
me
sort,
too.
Sort of like they're a force of nature.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, in, you know, I think Grace just, she lives in the moment, and she likes to crack the whip. She knows what what she wants to happen. But also she's got this sort of crazy sort of like freedom to her persona.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably quite a few different Graces in there.
Yeah, sure. Totally. Love her.
So would you describe yourself at all as a sound artist? I think I read somewhere that you like to create a soundscape.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind that word. I do sometimes use it. Yeah, I like doing different projects. I like working with different musicians and things. I haven't done anything like that for a while, but, you know, you never know what might come up.
Did you do spoken word at one point? You still...
I've had a few different music projects. I had this one called Oral, and we did a...
How's that spelled? Like O-R-A-L-A-U-R-A-L?
Oral, okay, yeah, and we did a performance at Wolfgang Tillmans. Used to have a summer party, and we did... It was some end of summer party, I'd say, when Wolfgang lived in London. And we did a performance there, one of his do's.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I wanted to talk to you about Wolfgang, actually, because he did some amazing photographs of you.
You were amused.
That are on, I think it's you on the tube. I love those pictures. So tell me the story
and
of that whole shoot.
They went in the Turner Prize, didn't
they?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't see his Turner Prize.
Was on my armpit.
That's your armpit on
that's
the tube.
That's my armpit.
On the tube?
Yeah.
No.
That's one of Russell's like fave photos.
Is
that's
it?
That's your armpit.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Like I'm.
And he used to come.
That's amazing.
Wolfgang used to come to the club.
I've met the armpit.
That's so funny. Still comes to the club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen him for ages. But
but
I remember being in like the Cock or Ghetto and stuff, and he used to come down.
What was that like being in his photographs?
Yes, what's the story behind?
Well, I met Wolfgang. He came to London, and he was doing a photo spread. I think this was the very late 80s, early 90s, and he was doing a photo spread for Interview magazine. Uh-huh. And he came round to my house and took some photos, and there was a few other people involved. I think Rachel Auburn was one of the subjects. I think maybe it was about just being girl DJs. That's what it was about, okay. I think. And that's when I first met him. So he came around, and Jeffrey, because I shared a flat with Jeffrey Hinton, so that's where we first sort of met him. And then, like, just kept coming up all the time, kept sort of meeting him all the time.
And then he said, can I take pictures of you? Or did he just always
have his camera? Sometimes he'd go, I've got this thing. Like, he did this thing for The Big Issue. Like, he curated and one of the issues. Yeah. And then he said, oh, can come and, like, we'll do some photos. I did some in the studio. And I think maybe those ones on the train, they might have been part of that as well.
Yeah.
I love that shoot so much.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It's so great.
And you've been a big fan of his...
Yeah, ever since that sort of time when I first met him, really. I didn't really know anything much about him, to be fair. And then, obviously, he started doing stuff with ID. So he sort of, like, crossed that sort of
style, I think,
boundary, you know, into that sort of the reportage... stuff that he does. And also, I mean, I do love those big sort of colour wash, blow up
They're amazing.
Marvellous things.
The flash swimmers. The ones that are like going through liquids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And he had that studio, didn't he, on Cambridge Heath.
Between bridges. Yeah. Cambridge Heath Road. Yeah, Bethnal Green.
And that's where he used to have the parties and things.
I went there once with him. I went with John Cameron Mitchell, the director, and he took me in there, and Wolfgang took a couple of pictures of me just kind of... just snapping, and I was super awkward because I was like, in my head, Wolfgang Tillman's taking a picture of you, and I've never seen them surface anywhere. They're in some box somewhere.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll turn up, because Wolfgang's very funny when he sort of takes pictures as well, because he sort of likes to do it without you sort of knowing. So because he's such a presence, yes, actually, so you sort of like, uh-oh, he's going to do one. And then suddenly they're sort of like, you know, sort of like, and then he just starts laughing. He's like...
Got you.
Do you like having your picture taken or being filmed or, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm quite a show-off in my way. Yeah, don't mind.
Because When I first met you, I remember thinking you were quite shy in a way.
I am
shy. Yeah, like shyer than
Maybe
I expected.
I'm shy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not shy.
Yeah, oh.
I don't think everyone is. Am I shy? I don't think so.
You can be shy.
Maybe. Around people I fancy, I get shy. I go silent.
So
actually, no, you're right. Everyone can get shy.
Yeah. But yeah, I do enjoy. I like it when, it's a photographer that I sort of respect and things, and I'm a bit like, oh, I can't believe it. It's so good, isn't it? I can't. So and so's taking my picture.
Yeah.
I love those pictures that David Sims took of me.
Did David Sims take pictures of you?
Yeah,
he's amazing.
For French Vogue, Paris Vogue.
Wow.
And that was nice. And like, you know, I'm sort of a fan of my friends. You know, so I like doing like collaborations with people, and I quite often, you know, much in the way that I work at New Nights and things like that, and support people trying to, you know, express themselves in various ways, and that goes with that sort of world, you know, the art world, the photography world, as well. So I'm into like doing that sort of stuff. Like, people do send me messages, and if I can fit it in, I will do it.
But that's what I always remember from when I first met you, was how generous you are.
Oh my God, crazy generous.
And no, but you are really up for, like, supporting new talent of all kinds. And it's cross boundaries, like cross mediums, you know. It doesn't matter whether it's fashion, art, music. Like, you're just one of those people that supports people. And at the same time, you're a great artist yourself, because it's rare that, and it is great.
Yeah, it's
no, but I mean, everything you do, I feel like you have an artistry to what you do.
So, Russell, like, when you started acting, what, I mean, you know, you had to sort of like take that leap into like...
And you had to have people around me like you who's going like, keep going. Yeah. That's really good. I mean, you had to take that leap and also like... Well, it's exposing, isn't it? Anything creative, you're putting yourself out, you're bearing a part of yourself, which most people don't really show the world.
Yeah.
And it's, if you've got people championing you who are further down the line and able to show you what life can be like, it's incredibly beneficial. Yeah. It's amazing.
And you know what else is really amazing is like the impact I think you have on so many different people. Like, I know we saw each other recently at the Pet Shop Boys after party at the Royal Opera House last summer or whenever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw you there, and I was like, and I love the fact that like Neil and Chris love you as well. And like,
oh, I love Neil and Chris.
And you love Neil and Chris. We all love Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah,
we like. Love.
Actually, Wolfgang Tillman loved the Pet Shop Boys.
He did an amazing video for them. Yeah. I love the video he did for them.
Really do love them.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favourite songs they ever wrote. It's called Home and Dry. Mm. And there's something about that song. I can just listen to it. It just makes me feel so good.
Wow.
Like, sonically, I just love it. And I think it's such touching lyrics. Neil is one of the best lyricists of our time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think he's like the Oscar Wilde of our time or something. Like, he's got that kind of bright intelligence, but also just, it's so accessible and so fun at the same time. He's just genius.
I think he's got a bit of Alan Bennett about it.
And then the
well.
Other, he does actually. Alan Bennett's another great voice. Mm. I love Alan Bennett. But the other thing I loved is I went to Wembley concert once, and I was sat in the audience, and I was looking at the videos on the stage, and it was Kylie Minogue, and on the screen it was Julia, and I was like, Julia is on Kylie Minogue's set, and you were like projected in Wembley Arena or stadium, wherever we were. Tell us about that. How did that happen?
Well, I'm really good friends with one of Kylie's stylists, which is William Baker.
Oh, yeah.
And William was doing the whole set direction at that time. So I think that's, you know, William always gets obsessed with things. So I think William sort of had a hand in that.
That's so
actually,
cool.
Yeah.
And that was referencing...
We love a bit of Kylie.
We love Kylie. But that was referencing the early video you were in, Fade to Grey.
Fade to Grey.
And then you kind of redid it in a contemporary setting, didn't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just remember thinking, like, I'm in Wembley Stadium and Princess Julia's on the stage. Amazing. It was iconic. I loved it.
Do you get gifted works by your friends, like artworks, and do you live with them?
I do get gifted things from time to time, but I also, you know, if I've got a bit of spare money or something, I try and buy things as well. Uh-huh. And cool. I do the same with fashion as well, because I think it's really important when you're starting out that actually sort of that you buy stuff from people, really.
Are you good at holding on to all the clothes you've bought over the years?
Not really, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you haven't got a massive
things
archive?
Have got lost. Things have got lost over the years, but they could be recreated, I think.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, because I've moved around so much. I've lived all over London. So, and things have got lost. I remember quite a lot of all that sort of early New Romantic stuff, that all got flooded in Warren Street. So I lost a lot of that. Yeah, no, never mind. And then also things, I lend things out to people, never come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that's all right. Because I like the idea of things sort of like having another life.
Yeah.
And actually, now here's a funny story. It's not really a funny story, but I'm friends with Kim Jones, the designer. Love. Your friend.
Who now
with
is
Kim.
Runs Dior, but was running Louis Vuitton. Yeah.
And Kim Jones is a marvellous archivist, actually. And I went round his house and he had a Lee Bowery jacket. It was in a case. Have you seen that jacket? It was in a case with all the hair Kirby grips on. And it was sort of like, it brought back so many memories, because that jacket, I think everyone had borrowed and worn at some point. So I told him the whole story. Oh, yeah, well, Lee had that. And then Trojan wore that jacket for a while, and then so-and-so had it. And that was, and it was kind of, I like the idea of things sort of having a life,
the history,
you know.
Of that,
I'm quite
of that
happy
object.
To lend things to people or, you know, on permanent loan.
What was Lee Bowery like for you?
He was always he was always really very funny and very witty, and but he was also quite a gossip and liked to stir things up a bit.
Uh-huh.
I think the best thing to do is read Sue Tilly's book, but that, you know, is very insightful. But yeah, he was always really creative. And I used to work in this shop called World, which is Michael and Galinda Costiff's shop up in the West End of London. And Lee used to sometimes pop by. He'd do sort of days where he'd go to see like a cinema day. So he'd go to this, see about four films in a day, and then go to like the Angus Steakhouse for supper. That's was one of his favourite things. But in the day drag, which the day drag was quite sort of just as spooky, bizarre, shall we say, as it was not as obvious, it was quite subtle. So you'd have like this ratty old wig on that was sort of chopped down so you could see the skeleton of the wig. And then he'd have like an old manky top on, but he'd have a lot of food medallions all dripping down. And then he'd have the shoe within a shoe. So the trainer in a clog. And you'd see this sort of big sort of like entity coming towards you and you go, okay. And I'd go, you look quite freaky today. And then he'd go, well, look at you. Look at the state of you. And I'd say, okay.
Amazing.
But like, yeah.
And he was
a very interesting person.
Yeah, incredible.
Because he came to London to be a fashion designer. But actually, he was so visionary.
Mm.
And he was sort of, that was the thing, that like his vision took him outside of mainstream fashion, really.
But at the time, was he visionary? Were people looking at him at the time for what he was doing?
Yeah, right. Straight away. Like when he settled into London life, he created a collection that was very, what's the word?
What, like,
confrontational.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, straight away.
So people are
and
like,
then became
okay,
a sort of star of Clubland, but actually, the turning point was when Lorcan O'Neill,
yes,
that was then working at the Dauphin Gallery,
yeah,
set up that installation, which was beyond, actually. You know, it was Lee in a, you know, up the upstairs gallery in a big glass box. It was a one-way, so we could see in and he couldn't see out. And you just came in, you'd sit there all day just watching Lee on... sort of lounging around in a look.
But he didn't know who was there watching him?
No, not really, no.
Oh, amazing.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
And how long was he locked in this room for?
For like five days. Like, he'd come and go, but he was...
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. But you went to see, no.
No, I didn't know about that.
No, it's I think it's incredible, I need to look it up.
It was filmed, but I don't really know who filmed it. It's been lost.
I'm going to have to look it up.
I think Kerith Wyn Evans filmed it.
Right.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah.
Wow.
But I think that a lot of stuff has got lost over the years.
I always wanted to...
beyond.
I was always really interested in Minty, like the band he was in. And then how after he passed away, Matthew Glamour kind of then became the singer again, didn't he? And they started doing Minty gigs when I was on the scene.
Okay.
But I would have loved to have seen Minty perform. What was that like? Did you see them play?
The same, you know, like they was a force of nature.
Yeah.
And that music.
Well, I mean, it was very sort of like, it was before social media and everything. So it was kind of on the precipice of being bigger, in actual fact. And, you know, a lot of that music. I DJ'd last night and I played a remix of Useless Man, which was one of the tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
I forgot about that track. It's genius.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Why do you think you've been so connected to the queer club scene as opposed to other club scenes?
Basically, I'm an alien. I feel like I don't really fit in, I've never really felt like I fitted in anywhere. And then I think what happened was when I was about 16, I just sort of ended up going to a lot of gay clubs. It was a sort of the punk rock moment. It was 76. And a lot of what you do is go to a gig, a punk gig, and then nothing else would be open, really, except some gay clubs. So ultimately, you'd end up going to, like, a gay club, like the Sombrero or one of those sort of places, or Louise's. That's was my first sort of route into... And the punk scene was very gay, in actual fact. Very
That's
gay.
Really interesting,
it was all
actually.
Creatives.
It's quite aggressive, don't you? Like masculine,
of,
like.
You kind of think of like testosterone and stuff.
So. Yeah.
But then I guess not because of Vivian Westwood and all that. I mean,
it was
that,
really
she was probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was a load of freaks all getting dressed up and camping it up with DIY subculture.
Yeah.
I mean, you should really speak to Jordan, who was the girl that worked in Sex and Seditionaries.
Not Katie Price's alter ego. Jordan.
No,
not that Jordan. The original Jordan.
Jordan, who's actually just written a book that's out called Defying Gravity.
Oh, cool.
I've not actually read it myself, but I would like to read it. But it's all about that time. And that woman, honestly, she, you know, talking about sort of role models and people that have inspired you or that have come before, you know, that was a woman I can actually believe. She used to commute from Brighton to London every day to go and work in like Seditionaries and Sex. But she used to wear the most outrageous clothes. She's in the Derek Jarman film. She's in the Derek Jarman film, Jubilee.
Really?
Yeah, she sings in that, like opera sort of thing.
Wow.
You know it. And she used to commute up to London from Brighton. And she'd be like, there's pictures of her. You can find them on the internet. And, you know, just a pair of knickers or a tutu with no knickers on at all. And that was in, like, 1976, 75. Outrageous.
Love her.
Oh, my gosh, in unison, we're like, love her.
No, she had the hair up like this.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Like the girl with the...
Oh, let's try and meet her. She sounds amazing.
You've got to have her on.
Yeah. Love.
She's lovely.
Cool.
I can sort it out for you. I can get in touch.
Great.
So, like, these role models, I've always had these, like, really strong sort of role models, and sometimes it's people that are famous or, you know, old people from like different eras that I've never met and don't know. But sometimes it's people that...
Like who, though? Like who?
That's like film stars and things like that, really? You know. But even Joan Collins. I like a bit of Joan.
We love Joan. Joan. Our friend Ivan's really close with Joan, and we really? Love Joan. Yeah. I think she's major.
She's major.
She's so major.
She's she was so just major. In that, she
was just in
shit.
That new campaign for like a shoe brand, like a high street shoe brand.
So she was in a Snickers campaign, wasn't she? Do you remember she did a Snickers thing?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow, even on like a high street sort of shoe company, she can just make the advert totally iconic. She is just... So classy. Yeah.
She is
and
really beyond.
Like, totally beyond. And then love Joan
like
Collins.
People like June Brown that I love.
Dot Cotton.
Like Dot
yeah.
Cotton.
Yeah.
We love June Brown.
She is beyond.
And I actually
Dot
think
Cotton, June Brown has
Lady
a whole
Gaga.
Wardrobe of couture.
Yeah, love.
She's couture freak.
What, in real life?
In real life.
Like, what couture? What brands?
Well, I did say, I did ask her, I said, June, so what, who's your favourite? And she said, Dior, New Look. That was her favourite. And do you know why? Because... She had when she had a boyfriend then in the 50s, she used to go into Soho Square and lift up her skirts and have sex with him in the park.
Are we allowed to keep this in? Are we going to have June Brown coming down on top of us? Dot Cotton's going to be suing Talcott.
I love June Brown.
Young lady.
I actually.
Vibrant young lady.
I actually loved Graham Norton That's when Lady Gaga was on with her, with Dot, and they just like hit it off. It's like
She's
the best
so
TV
adorable.
I ever saw. It's so incongruous. Like, you don't expect EastEnders to be with Gaga, but it works
that's
so well.
That's a character, isn't it? June Brown's totally. Not, you know, that is a character that she plays.
Exactly,
Cotton,
yeah.
But June Brown herself is like a force of nature.
Really?
Love.
Oh my God, she's so brilliant.
Oh, I'd like June Brown on.
I would love her on, actually.
Her
on. No, I actually really would. I love her.
Yeah.
I've got so
she
much respect
is
for
really,
her.
Like, fabulous.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, look, every guest we have on the show, we ask two special questions.
Okay.
This is where it gets really tough, Julia. Are you ready? if you could do an imaginary art heist and take home an artwork from a museum or a gallery or someone's house or whatever, we will help you. We will get you trucks. It can be any size, cranes, anything.
Like your touchstone artwork.
But like a touchstone artwork that like means a lot to you, something you'd like to take home.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Told you it gets hard. It's like
it's really
big,
hard.
Hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, this is it.
I wouldn't mind one of those Lydia Blakely little fluffy animals. And she said she might do me one.
Oh.
I love that.
So you haven't got to steal it at all. It might just be given to you.
Well, I'll give us, you know, maybe a price, I feel. But like, I wouldn't mind one of those.
Oh, that's interesting because that's like brand new art as well. I love the fact that you're into the moment of now.
Emerging,
yeah, straight into the emerging.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that off the top of my head.
Wicked.
You know, I wouldn't mind one of those.
Is there an item of fashion, historical fashion that you're like, I'd love that jacket or them shoes?
I'm trying to go back into time and think.
Go on, Julia, step back
into
time.
What kind of... Oh, hold on. Well, I do like an old master.
Yeah?
Go on.
I really do love an old master. And when it's that Frieze Art Fair thing, I love going to the sort of contemporary
Frieze Masters.
The Frieze Masters bibbly-bobbly bit. I mean, what some of those, I like those really ancient artefacts I don't know, the Thessalonian period or something. Or something like that, because I can't believe that that object will still exist after millions...
Thousands BC, whatever it was,
Of, you know, and sort of has the same sort of resonance as it might have had then, and it still sort of makes you feel the same spooky way.
Yeah.
And I like that sort of thing.
Timelessness.
And there's also somebody that's got all the Derek Jarman... did you see all those? Oh, they're quite beyond. And John Mabry's got a Derek Jarman that is...
Is he really?
In his hype, yeah.
Love John
Mabry, he's got a few
so
of
cool.
them. Yeah, he's got a few of them because they were very good friends. And actually, I like going around there and going, oh, look at that Derek Jarman.
Okay, well, let's do that. Let's go around John Mabry's
house
for dinner one night.
Yeah.
And we're going to do an art heist.
Nigel Coates, the architect, around there. But it's definitely, there's so many fabulous things, isn't there, to actually acquire.
Mm.
You've got a lot of them in here.
What would you take out of here?
Hold on. I don't know, actually. See, look, you've got a translation of a an ancient artifact.
As a Jonas would.
We should curate a show together, shouldn't
I'm
we?
I'm well up for that.
Ancient and modern.
I'm curating Margate ancient now during the Turner Prize.
Are you?
Yeah. Hopefully me and Robert do something at some point, and I'd love to do something with you. That'd be
That's
cool.
That's exciting, isn't
it? Yeah.
I do like that as well, that green person.
That's
Who's
Jamie
that
and Giuliani Villani.
Giuliani Villani.
I like that. That reminds me, do you know the performance artist called Oozing Gloop?
No.
Oh, Oozing Gloop. It's sort of got a sense of Oozing Gloop.
I'm going to have to look up Oozing
Gloop. Add on Oozing Gloop to the Instagram.
Oozing Gloop, who's sensational.
Cool.
Who does this really beyond show. He did it at the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club, and I was like, oh my God, this is too genius.
Brilliant name.
It last all time made I was sense. At,
last time I was there, it was called Gay Spacho, and it was wrestlers in a paddling pool of tomato sauce. That was the last time I was at Bethnal Green's Working Men's Club. It was a very good night.
And the last one I went to was the David Hoyle, who I'm a major fan of.
I don't have any
David Hoyle work.
Okay.
I must get something.
Yes.
David Hoyle's genius and a genius artist.
Well, the makeup, I saw that makeup video that's on YouTube.
Yeah,
that
so beyond.
Just amazing.
Yeah, so I saw David Hoyle and Justin Vivian Bond, who
love
we love.
Justin
they did a whole
Vivian
show.
Bond.
And then Christine turned up as well.
Christine.
From
Christine
and the Queens. Oh, no.
Christine Vale. Do you not know Christine?
No.
Oh. Your new favourite.
Here we go.
Your new favourite. So far, Russell, we've got Wild Daughter.
Yes.
Your other new favourite.
Yeah, Wild Daughter you have to get into. Wild Daughter, amazing.
Okay.
And they just did the best show at ICA recently in London. Incredible.
It was really incredible,
so
wasn't
cool.
it?
Yeah. Love Wild Daughter. Yeah.
So the other question we ask is, what is your favourite colour?
Oh, it's red.
Straight
That's
in.
Easy.
Why red, Julia?
Because I don't know.
You're actually wearing red lips right now.
Yeah,
and a red jacket with red tassels.
Red, yeah. I think it's red. It has to be red. What does
it's
red mean?
It's a very vital colour,
isn't
it?
You know,
the red shoes.
It's very powerful. Mm. It's blood. It's the energy. It's blood. So I don't know. Red sort of. It's danger. Ooh. We're all danger queens round here.
Yeah, true.
Love a bit of danger.
We are the danger mice queens.
Halt,
yeah.
Halt! Stop! Stop! It's alert! Alert! It's I don't know.
Yeah. Halt, stop, it stop. Makes you know. It's a classic. Halt, stop, stop.
Stop.
Danger,
alert.
Danger.
Alert,
it's like
alert.
That club song.
We're the Danger Queens. Well, it makes you notice it, doesn't it? Yeah, amazing. Well, I want to hear your song now. Can you play it?
On the show?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant like...
No, I want to hear a bit of it now. I want our listeners to hear it.
Really?
Do you remember it?
Well, no, it'll
be
on
it?
Apple Music, won't it?
You
I'm sing sure you can just... This is hilarious. Let's have a look.
Maybe.
We did quite a few gigs. I actually remember one of the gigs we did.
We did do a few gigs.
We did, yeah. And I remember one of the ones we did, which I think was Nag Nag Nag, was Boy George came and he came backstage. And I remember being so shell-shocked because he wasn't dressed up. He just looked like a normal guy. And I was just like, that's Boy George. But I didn't know what to say or do. So I just sat in silence. It was like really stupid.
Was he wearing a hat though?
He was so lovely.
Hats,
no? Do you know what? He might have been, but I think he took it off because we were in this tiny little backstage room. Right, and he was so sweet. I remember really liking him, but I'd had nothing to say. Oh, look, the most remix. That was your remix.
Okay.
So let's try and listen to your remix.
Where's
well, no,
Paris?
It's not. It's because it's on Apple Music. I don't have it. I'm going to download it now. Hang on. Here we go. Look. Oh, my gosh.
Hold it up to the mic.
I don't know how to do this. This was your remix. Do you remember this? Oh, wow. It's like really electro.
Yeah.
Those are the days.
Well, I really do love electronic music.
Me too, still
Disco
now.
Disco electronic music.
That's you.
That's me, yeah. But wait, there's another version of it, I think. That actually is... I don't know if this actually
sexy.
Has the vocals in it. This is like a dance club mix, though. It says, I'm a perfectionist. Wait, I think there's another version of it where...
That was sexy.
Where you actually, like, hear Julia. It's hilarious. I loved it.
Well, what's your favourite sort of music? Like disco? I mean, I always go back to disco. But I love
go
all
back
kind
to
of dance stuff.
Right. My go-to, I would go back to like Fleetwood Mac and Steely Dan.
Do you?
Love Fleetwood Mac and Steely Dan. Love. Put
I always
on.
Think of you as being like soul music.
Yeah,
kind
like
of
Maxwell
like new soul.
And,
Maxwell. Because before I knew Max,
Maxwell,
you were
Jill Scott, I'm obsessed with.
Okay, quite jazzy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to skip forward, but let's try and find it. It was so pop.
It's like NSYNC.
It's really like NSYNC, yeah. I actually remember Dave, he used to manage Pet Shop Boys. He heard some of these songs and was like, you're the new Justin Timberlake. I really wasn't, clearly.
Wait, I want to get the Julia bit. We'll cut it out of this.
You got to start playing Rob's music at the Glory.
Yeah, it can come back. I put it on a USB stick.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I remember it.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is awesome.
That was the bit I was trying to find, because I remember us going like, ooh la la.
You'll have to play that as our outro music.
Ooh la la.
That's what you have to
do. Oh, for this episode. Yeah, love it. Those are the days, Julia.
Yeah.
Still the day.
I was about to say, do you know what, actually, though, tomorrow
is the day. Yeah, exactly. I'm sort of one of those sort of people that like kind of live in the moment. So
definitely.
Enjoy everything.
You are, yeah.
And tonight you're DJing, aren't you?
Yes, tonight I am. I do a Sunday soiree every Sunday
at the Glory.
At the Glory.
And you're about to start in about 10 minutes. We'd better let you go.
Yeah.
But this has been a total privilege. What a laugh.
Thank
I love you.
Thank you so much for being our guest on Talk Art, Princess
you.
Julia, Her Royal Highness.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm feeling incredibly regal around you.
And I can't wait to see you both in the art world soon.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll it's our other.
And then we want to come to the club, so I want to come and see you and dance.
Yeah.
Although we did have a good dance the other night at Margate Pride.
That was amazing.
Yeah, you looked incredible in that outfit as well. That was incredible.
Was you DJing at the Pride?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Cool.
I did an after party.
It was at the Lido in this huge, like, it's a really like 1970s. It was actually a nightclub photographed by the photographer who was at the National Portrait Gallery recently.
Martin Parr.
Yeah, Martin Parr photographed this nightclub, I think in the 80s or 70s. It's an amazing nightclub.
Okay.
And Julia was headlining, and it was Cockles and Muscles, really cool gay night.
Loved it.
It was fun.
It's organised by the Sync the Pink crowd, and it's very, very cool. Amy Zing and everyone. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Awesome. Well, Julia, thank you very much.
Thank
For everyone
you so
listening,
much.
We're going to post loads of glamorous photographs of Julia and of all the artworks we've discussed today.
We should do one now, shouldn't we?
And we will take a picture right now.
Okay.
We'll be back very soon.
Take
Lots love. Of love.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diament and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art for images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.